Good morning. How are you?
Smiling faces?
Huh? Yeah. All right, cool. Amen. Well, as you can see, our pastor's out today, enjoying a good vacation, right? Enjoying vacation. Have a lot of folks out today. Remember them in prayer as they're traveling back, or if they're ill, please think about them today. And we're going to get started here. It won't be long. I can almost guarantee you that. If I am, somebody wave their hand if it starts to get too long. Not you, Sherry. 5 minutes in, Sherry's going. So anyhow, yeah, coming up on 42. Yeah, 42 years. 59. Well, we'll see if we get to. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. We're all good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. You know that? He's worthy of our praise every day. I'm probably going to bounce around a little bit. Don't know. I've got a nice layout here, but who knows where it'll wind up. You know, I've got a few favorite scriptures that I sort of, always tend to go back to because they're so real to me. And because I think that they just have had such an impact on me that they become part of everything that I share. And, you know, I'm not a professional speaker. I speak, and I'll do the best that I can, and I'm not making any excuses. Believe me, I'm not, because I'll do good. I'll do all right. But we'll get through these scriptures. I've got Lisa thoroughly confused because she can't read my writing. No one can, but she's going to have these scriptures for us. But we're going to talk a little bit this morning. I've been running plants and factories and things like that for the last 25, 30 years. And one of the things that I try to integrate into our philosophy there, one of the things that I try to promote amongst my teams is this: think, act, be above the line, right? Because it's when we dip below the line when things start to get a little bit hairy, right? Someone loses their temper. Someone doesn't have a solution for something, so they get angry. Someone just gives up on the solution. And, you know, that's life, right? We need to have an above-the-line type of mindset. We need to let the joy of the Lord be our strength. We need to realize that His power is in us. And we're going to talk a little bit about the power of God today, and that it's in you, and it's in you, and it's in me, right? Above the line. You'll hear it maybe once or twice as we go through this today. But I want you to start to think that way. I want you to start to think above the line. You know, because it's when we dip, and we all have dips. We all have a dip below the line. Jesus came real close when he started wondering where God was on the cross, but he didn't go below. But we all dip below that line periodically. And it's whether it's because we've had a failure in life, whether it's we've had a challenge, whether we've some guy cut us off in traffic. Right? Come on. That one's real. Is that real? Nobody gets upset about that except me, right? Yeah. So me and Jason, we'll fess up to it, right? So we all have these little idiosyncrasies that are challenges to us every day. And we can dip below that line, but the key is not to stay there, right? The key is to rise above it, right? There's always an opportunity. We look at it in my professional life, and even at home, we try to look at problems or issues as opportunities to improve. Sherry got tired of me hearing that early on. I don't say it so much anymore. But when I first got into Lean and 5S and continuous improvement and all those types of things at work, I'd come home and she'd say, "It's a really big problem." It's just an opportunity. Bam. You know? because there are problems, right? But if we treat them as opportunities to improve and opportunities to get better and opportunities to rise above, get back above the line, right? I've got a line drawn, excuse me, in our accountability area at work. It's just a single line with an arrow pointed up, and that's all we need to know. And you know, my team, they'll come to me sometimes and say, "Jim, you gotta get back above the line." Yep, I do. Or I'll say to them, "Let's get back above the line." And you're gonna get tired of hearing that today, but I want to get that ingrained in you. Stay above the line. Stay above the line. Where's Jesus at? He's above the line, right? He's above the line. All right. So don't digress to anger. Don't digress into malice or bitterness. Don't digress into unforgiveness. Don't digress into despair or fear. These are things that are below the line. And we all face those challenges, right? Right? We all face those challenges. Sherry has a great spouse, and she doesn't have that many challenges with me. But, you know, other people may have those challenges. But, I mean, we all have those types of things in our life with our kids, with our spouses, with our parents, with our friends, our neighbors, not you, Joyce, with our neighbors, with people at work. We all have those challenges that we might digress into some of these feelings, right? And the key is to put those feelings aside, get back above the line. And what's above the line? Things like joy, things like peace, things like hope, things like forgiveness, right? Things like love, those things are above the line. So let's get there, all right? So I won't talk a lot more about that. But I want to give you a couple examples of some people that were above the line. They had above the line thinking, right? Elisha. Elisha, it's in, you don't have to put it up, Lisa, but it's in 2 Kings 6, 17 through 20 or something like that. And Elisha and his servant, they were being surrounded by an army of the enemy. They were surrounded. And Elisha's servant went out, and he looked, and he come back, and he said, "We're in trouble. We're surrounded. We're surrounded by an army, and we're in trouble." And Elisha, "Go look again." He looked several times, and finally, Elisha said, "God, open his eyes that he can see." And when Elisha never panicked, he never digressed below the line, and he said, "Lord, just open his eyes that he can see." And he went back out again. And he saw the multitude of the heavenly host surrounding and realized that the army with them was greater than the army that was coming against them. And that's what we need to realize each and every day, is that God's army is around us. And we're protected by that, and we're strengthened by that, and we're encouraged by that. The scripture says, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, is that we are encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And they're not just hanging out, waiting to see if we fail or succeed or waiting to see what happens. They're there to provide strength, encouragement, lifting us up. Surrounded. Believe it or not, it's in the Word. Truth or not. I'm able to actually use this today because I took a big piece of black tape and fixed that binder. That's what you call Bible fixing 101. And it's Gorilla tape, so it'll never fail. Amen. So, just another example. David. David went to see his brothers, bringing them some cheese and some wine, whatever it was he was bringing them, right? And he brought him up some stuff because his dad asked him to go up. And all these big men up there, they're all sitting there afraid. They're all afraid of the enemy because it's a big dude down there and he's strutting his stuff, right? And he's basically calling them out and no one's going down to face him. David said, "I'll do it." And they said, "Going back home, David. Going back home. You're just a boy." He said, "Killed a lion. I killed a bear. I protected the sheep. I'm not afraid of that." And so Saul, the king, wanted to armor him all up in his armor, right? But David knew how he could win. And we all have a different way to win, right? Each of us has a different methodology for being successful. Each of us has a different methodology for dealing with stress, for dealing with strain. Each of us does it a little bit different. And David said, now I'll take care of it. And he went down and he called out that giant and he killed that giant. We all know the story, right? He won the victory. He didn't digress below the line like that entire army of Israel was doing. They were all afraid of this dude. But David wasn't afraid of him because he didn't allow himself to dip below the line. Jesus, there's so many things where Jesus never dipped below the line. Lazarus, he was in the grave 4 days. Everybody was in a panic. He was dead. He was gone. He stunk. It's over. It's over. Just roll the stone back. Just roll the stone back. You ever had a situation in your life when you needed God to roll the stone, right? You ever needed him to roll the stone? I have. Man, he's rolled so many stones for me. He's rolled them back. There's been issues. There's been problems. There's been opportunities. Been challenges. And he rolled the stone back. And what did he say? Hey, lads, come on out, man. Come on out. Guess what he didn't do? He didn't stink. He didn't stink, still had the grave clothes on, unwrapped him. Guess what? He was alive. He was alive. Did Jesus hang below the line? He stayed above the line. There's a whole bunch more. So I want to talk a little bit about 1 Corinthians 1, 17-18. So stay above the line. All these folks stayed above the line. Keep that above the line thinking. Understand that it's about the cross and what he did for us on the cross. So we're going to shift gears a minute. We're going to go into this, and then we're going to get back to above the line. So bear with me. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, this is what I want you to hear, it is the power of God. Now, we can do a lot of things, right? We can do a lot of things in life, but the one thing that we have to remember, excuse me, I wasn't planning on singing, and that was a lot of air going through me, so I'm a little bit dry. There's a lot of things we can do in life, but we can't forget what was done on the cross. And what we need to share and what we need to preach is the power of God that was in the cross. What was in the cross. And we talk about it, in this church we talk about it a lot. And we talk about the cross, the power of the cross, the power of what Christ did. Our life of faith, everything that we do by faith is a response to what happened on the cross. We believe that we can be healed because of what was done on the cross. We believe that we can be saved because of what was done on the cross. We believe that we can be victorious because of what was done on the cross. We believe that we can be rejuvenated because of what was done on the cross. We believe that we can be restored because of what was done on the cross. And we believe that we can be anything that we set our minds to because of what was done on the cross. I want you to hear something this morning. I've shared this here before. I'm going to share it again. I saw this I don't know where I saw it. YouTube, Facebook, we're all on that stuff, right? And it was a preacher. He's preaching, and he was preaching about the thieves. He was preaching about the thieves. One thief on one side, one thief on the other side of Christ. And And the one thief was cussing Jesus out. If you be the Son of God, get us down off these crosses. Show us what you're made of. And the other thief looked at him and said, what are you doing? This man's done nothing wrong. We're getting our just punishment. And he looked at Jesus and he said to Jesus, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said to him, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now for me, that was a cross moment. And when I heard this minister minister on it, he said, what do you think that guy did when he got to heaven? When they asked him why he was there. So he gets there and the angels ask him, why are you here? How'd you get here? What did you do to get here? He said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why I'm here. All I know is the man on the middle cross said I could come. Now you see, that's the cross. And that's the Savior that we serve. Because you don't have to do a thing. But he said, you can come. You know, I've had a lot of up and downs in life. I've lived below the line. I've lived above the line. And I know one thing for a surety. Is that man on the middle cross said I could come. And by that, he's given me hope. You know, I share the story here. I've shared it here before over the years. Some of you have been here for a while. Maybe you've heard me say this. Is you can survive, and if any of you are physicians or something, you can tell me I'm wrong later. But you can survive 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 minutes without air, but you can't survive 3 seconds without hope. I'm just telling you something. If you don't have hope, the end result is not going to be pleasant, because you have to have hope. And by Jesus Christ going to the cross for me and for you and for this world, there was a semblance of hope given to us. We have hope now. We have hope. We have hope. We have hope. And it'll fill you up. It'll fill you up. Just ask yourself every day, why am I here? Guy on the middle cross. He said you could come. And that's all I need. Amen. Glory. Luke 23, 39 through 43. I won't read it all. It's all about what we just talked about. It says, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, do not fear, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. We indeed justly, for receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man's done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, Verily I say unto you that today you'll be with me in paradise. So praise the Lord. That's good news. You know, we hear about the Bible being good news, and this old book has been around for 40 plus years, and it is good news. And it'll give you hope. It'll restore you. It'll lift you above the line. This Word of God, this Spirit of Christ that lives within us, and the Spirit of Christ, the same power that resurrected him from the dead, dwells in you. The book of Romans chapter 8 says it like this. It says that same power, and it says it like this. It says if in the King James Version, but in the original Greek, it means the word since. Since that same power dwells in you, it will quicken what? Your mortal bodies. Since it does, not if it does, because there ain't no question if. It's since it does. Since it dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. And that power that he exemplified on the cross, that power that he exemplified in the resurrection, that power that he exemplified throughout his life, dwells in you. And that's good news. So you're going to hear good news today, I hope. Amen? I hope you take it as good news, because for me it's good news. And we're going to say this again. Your life of faith is a direct response to what God did on the cross. You're going to get a few things out of this today, and I hope that you take those things and apply them in your daily walk. I hope that they help you. I hope that they encourage you. And in between, there's a lot of word, just like our life, right? But I want you to hear a few things. Your life of faith is a response of God's power. And that's what transforms us, okay? Wow, you get way ahead when you start not paying attention to these, right? Right. Praise the Lord. Hi, I'm Jim, and I'm a cryaholic. That's what I do. That used to be what we say about Sherry, but she still is. It's catching. You hang out with a cryaholic, you become one. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's look at a couple examples of, you know, the restorative power of God, and just, you know, the cross is restored us. It was that restorative power that he exemplified on the cross. But there's some other examples. There's the example of Moses, right? He killed a man. He went 40 years into the wilderness. He came back. He delivered all of Israel. There's Jonah, right? Jonah refused to listen to God. He ran. Where'd Jonah wind up? He wound up in the belly of a big fish. If you ever cleaned fish, that inside is not pleasant. It's not pleasant. He was there for a while. He was hanging out in the belly of this whale, belly of this big fish, whatever it was. Different translations, right? But he was in the belly of that for 3 days. How did he get there? They threw him overboard because he said, hey, I'm the reason this storm's here. I'm the reason you're struggling. And the folks on the boat that he had got on to run away from God threw him overboard. And finally, in there, he repented. He repented, and the whale spit him up on the shore. And he went and did what God wanted him to do, and he preached. And what was the result of that? The result of that was salvation for that entire city. The result of that was restoration. The result of that was a city that came back above the line. They came back above the line, the entire city. Now, Jonah, he got a little bit ticked off at that because he was thinking there should have been a little bit more punishment in that. But God took care of that. God squared him up, and he went on about his way. But it was a sign of victory. It was a sign of God's power. And then Joseph. And sometimes we find ourselves in a below-the-line situation, and it's not necessarily our fault. Somehow we got there. It just happened. Maybe somebody said something, maybe somebody did something, but we wound up there. But Joseph wound up in a pit. Joseph wound up in prison. Joseph wound up a servant to Pharaoh. Joseph wound up in situations, but the result, the end result was, is Joseph was exactly where God wanted him to be, and he put him in a position of power, in a position where he could deliver, in a position where restoration took place for his family. And we find ourselves in these situations periodically throughout life where things may not be going the way we think they should. And God, if we'll put our faith in him and believe in him and believe in what he did on the cross for us, he'll restore us and our families. Amen. You're going to be home in time for breakfast. Okay? Amen. Again, what are we saying? Our life of faith is what? It's a response to God's power. It's a response to what God did on the cross for us. We believe and we have faith because of what he did for us. So, said all that to say this. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about a guy. And I don't often share this, but in 1980, I was an adult. In 1900s, they had cars. They weren't very good cars, but they did have cars. The 70s were not a good time. In 1980, I gave my heart to Christ. I had found myself in a situation that I was in despair, and I was way below the line. And I knew enough, and I'd heard enough in Sunday school as a kid, that if I repented and called out to him, he'd done something for me on the cross. And he would save me. And he saved me. I got saved in 1980. And it set in motion a series of events. It brought me to a little country church in Mercersburg, Pennsylvania, where I met a family. Dude with an afro, curly hair. Your husband. It was that time, wasn't it? Lynn had curly hair. If any of you can imagine that, think about that. A big old curly hair. Anyhow, so I met a family. And I started coming, because of that, I started coming here to church, and I met a girl. Who knew? Who knew? One of those many blessings, right? So I got saved. I started coming here to church those many years ago. But it leads to this. Is I was still working in Pennsylvania, driving back and forth, and I got a job in Martinsburg, West Virginia, making less money, but it was closer, it was more steady, it seemed more steady, and I took that job, and I had been laid off from the other one, and I was working there a few months, and the other job called me back. It was almost $2 more an hour, a little bit longer drive. I didn't know what to do, because this job was steady. I was trying to be married, you know, build houses, all those things. And I didn't know what to do. And I went to the boss that I had down there, and she was a Christian lady. And I said, I don't know what to do. And she said, take your time. She said, I'll let you come in late. I was working second shift. The other job was daylight. Come on, everybody. Most people like daylight. I like daylight. And I was working second shift. And I couldn't get an answer. And I was supposed to start back up there on a Monday. And I got off work late Friday night. And I'm driving home by myself up Route 9. And that's always an adventure. And I'm driving up the road. And just as clear as a crystal, just as clear. I've been reading Matthew 14, one of my favorite scriptures, about Peter getting out of the boat. And just as clear, audible, don't know, but it was loud. God said, get out of the boat. Take that step of faith. Get out of the boat. And I came home, I told Jerry, I said, God told me get out of the boat. So I called the company in Pennsylvania, said, I won't be back. And I took that job for less money. And that job opened the door for other guys to get jobs. And that job opened the door for me to start a career. And that job blessed us in every area, financially and different areas and career-wise. And I'm not saying that it's all about a career, and I'm not saying it's all about finances, but what I'm saying is when God speaks to you and you hear, the end result is what? Is blessing. The end result is him showing his power. The end result is restoration. The end result is rejuvenation. The end result is a revealing of him in your life. And from that moment on, it was a trajectory like this, not a trajectory like this. I wasn't being laid off every 4 months. I had steady work. And within a year, my pay was where it was. Now, I said that to say this. Listen for his voice. And when he speaks to you, step. Step out of the boat. And a lot of people will take that story about Peter and they'll say, you know, well, he got out of the boat. He sunk. His faith weakened. Yep. Sure did. Sure did. I'll tell you what, my faith weakened a lot over the years. I made a lot of mistakes over the years. But I'll tell you one thing. You know what Peter did? When he was going under, he said, Lord, save me. I'll tell you, take that step of faith. If you start to falter, you start to sink, you start to fail, reach out and say, Lord, save me. I'll guarantee you. I'll guarantee you. He'll reach down and pick you back up. And here's the key. Is he didn't carry him back to the boat. Guess what they did? They walked back to the boat. They went back to the boat. And come on. I said something last week, or the week before, I don't know when, I've been out some. Lisa, she'd like to be on that walk to Emmaus with Christ after he's resurrected. I'd like to be with Peter and Jesus when they're walking back in that boat. On the way back. I almost sunk Jesus. Yeah, you did, but you're not now. Man, that's a good God. He'll catch you when you're sinking, and he'll pick you back up. And he won't pull you through the water like anybody lifeguarding here. You get them in the cross chest carry, and you drag them back. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't swimming. They were walking back. He's setting back up. He's setting back up where he was. And that's God's restorative power. See, he doesn't set you up 6 steps back. He sets you up where you were. He doesn't make you take steps back. He's always moving you forward. Set you right where you were so you can keep going. That's God. He's blessed me. I love him. He's given me opportunity to share my faith with a lot of folk. A lot of folk. As Brother Bob would say, he'd say, you've had a lot of jobs. Yes, I have. I've moved around some, right? As I've been going through levels. And God has blessed us. And he's blessed us with an opportunity to share the gospel with people, to tell people you pray for, to make connections. that are lifelong connections. Yeah, that's the God I serve. He's a restorative God. He's a rejuvenating God. He's a healing God. He's a resurrecting God. Because some of us have really been down, and we've needed resurrection life. We've needed that. He's a big God, folks. Stand with me. He's a big God. Our faith walk is a result of what happened on the cross. Our faith walk is a result of what happened on that cross. Stay above the line. If you dip below, don't worry about it. Just reach out to Him and get right back above, right? The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, I won't read the whole thing, but at the end it says, and these three, right? Faith, hope, love, right? Faith, hope, love. If there's anything that Christ preached, it was having faith, having hope, and be full of love. That's who we should be. So I want to be. Not always when that guy cuts me off in traffic, I have to get back above the line. But that's who we should be. We should be those folks that are willing to share our faith, willing to show our faith, willing to share hope with someone who needs hope, and willing to show love to someone who just needs love. There's people all around us. They need a little bit of love. Need a little bit of hope. Need a little bit of faith. Let's help them get to the next level. Let's help them get out of the boat. Let's help them stay above the line. Let's be who God wanted us to be when He came and gave us. Gave us the opportunity to let the power of God work through us. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to stand before you today. Thank you so much. If there is one person, one individual in this house that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we offer this altar. You can do it in your seat. You can do it when you walk out the door. But we want you to know that God will restore you and He'll save you. And all you have to do is what? Ask. Ask. If you want to come to this altar, we'll pray with you. If you want us to meet you after church, we'll pray with you. Don't hesitate to take this opportunity to let Christ be something real in your life and change your life and make Himself real to you. Okay? All right. Amen. She's going to sing a song. Joe, ask a blessing over this portion of the service, would you please? Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You can be seated.